I bring greetings from Juanita to the church, and maybe I should first say Happy New Year. Is that okay? It's only 12 days old. Yes, Juanita would have loved to be with me here today, but she suffered Bell's palsy. He's responsive. Bell's palsy. No. What Bell's palsy is a partial facial paralysis. So on the right-hand side, she has that issue. She's a beautiful woman. Still is. But she's just not prepared yet to appear in public. So she sent her greetings to you and wants to thank you for your prayers on her behalf. If you wish to call her, send her a card, she'll greatly appreciate that. You know, something that is on your face is very personal. So she doesn't want this to be broadcasted everywhere, but Colton Church is a special church. So I can tell you that. Keep that in mind, please. Let's bow our heads. Jesus, we need you here so badly this morning. And I know that you are here. Just make us aware of your presence. Shut the world out from our minds and our hearts so that we can worship you. And we ask this in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Can I leave a text with you? I didn't forewarn Robert to put it up on the screen, but maybe toward the end. It is Psalm 34 and verse 19. If you have paper or pencil, write it down in your Bible. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Many are the afflictions. That text came to us as we are going through this trial, affliction in our home. And Juanita has battled many, many afflictions, and this one also will go away. It'll take about 3 to 6 months, they say, or earlier. She is a very optimistic person, and hopefully this will be behind us. But that's how our new year began. This happened on the 2nd of 2019. So we're dealing with it. And God is good. Amen. I'm going to disappoint you. You got excited about the title of my sermon. And the word is very caustic and probably hurtful. You might have said, what do you mean, Pastor Singh? You think we are all fake Christians? Why are you preaching that sermon to us? Not so. Anyway, I got up early in the morning, and I have the sermon, all right? That's for another time. But I said, my church in Colton, my people there need something else that is more healing, more balmy. And so, the title is Family Matters. Family Matters. Family matters are complex and hard and painful. I used to believe that there are some perfect Christian families. I looked up to a number of Seventh-day Adventist families as a teen. I considered perfect some indigenous and some missionary families. I've lived long enough to see those very so-called, in my mind, perfect families fall apart. Indigenous families and missionary families. I know some missionary families we looked up to as perfect families have fallen apart. Some of their children have abandoned their church, their families, and their God. Some children have declared they are gay. All sorts of abuse, incest, homicide, suicide happen in Christian families. There have been divorce in some families. Our families, my friends, I want to say today, are in trouble. So I believe it's a good topic to pay attention to. It's a painful one. I'm sure there are some of you, as I talk, will be thinking what has happened in your own life. It's okay to grieve if that's the case. You know, God created the human family. It's God's idea, not our idea, not mom and dad's idea to have a family. God created the first human family. Godhead is a family. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let us turn to the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, for our admonition. Look at Genesis 1, 26 to 28. It's on the screen. You can look it up in your Bible. You want to mark it. That's all right. All right. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness. 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Verse 28. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Agree with me? Family is God's idea. Genesis 2, 21 and 22. Next text. After the creation of Adam, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone, Carlos. I will make him what? I will make him what? Read it. I will make him a helper. Can't you? Is he not there? Okay. All right. You got it. I will make him a helper. Not a servant. Not a servant. A helper. To stand by his side. A helper. Comparable to him, not superior, not inferior, comparable to him. Okay, how did he do that? We'll go back to Genesis 2, 21 and 22, the text that you had. I jumped a little bit. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, the first operation without anesthesia, took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Verse 22. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. You know, growing up, I used to count my ribs. Maybe one is missing. You know? I got all 24. There are two divine institutions that came from the hand of the Creator at the creation when the world was perfect. The one was the family. The other one was the Sabbath. And the devil has been after these two institutions ever since. Almost succeeded in destroying the Sabbath. Thank God it is still alive. Thank you, Jesus, for the Sabbath. But he is doing a great job in destroying families, folks. And you and I are involved in it and share the pain. And sometimes you don't know what to do. As I said in the beginning, there are no perfect families in this world. In the Old Testament, Jacob's family, 12 sons and one daughter, and from four different women. Talk of polygamy. And all kinds of trouble in the family. All sorts of intrigues and rivalries were manifested in Jacob's family. Quite a drama. Read the book of Genesis, the story of these 12 sons and one daughter. In the New Testament, even Jesus' own family, less than perfect, Jesus' half-brothers were always in conflict with Jesus, trying to boss him, divert him from his mission on earth. What about your family and mine today? There's so much hype in the church these days about the last day events and the Sunday law. Here's what we should be about, I believe. And I quote this from the book Education by Ellen White and pages 15 and 16. To restore in man the image of God. What is the word? To do what? To restore. What does that mean? Something's gone bad, right? To restore in man the image of God. To bring him back to the perfection of body, mind, and soul, that the divine purpose in his creation might be realized. This was to be the work of redemption. This is the object of education, the great object of life. Education, pages 15 and 16. Redemption, restoration. Folks, church leaders, that's our job. Restoring families, bringing peace. Bring back love in the family. Teaching forgiveness. For we have a forgiving God. If we didn't have a forgiven God, we'll be all dead. No hope of salvation. So this work of restoring the image of God in our lives happens not in the church or in the schools, but where? In our homes. That's where children's lives are shaped. Now, some of us, we are beyond that. Okay? But we can restore. Can't recreate, but we can restore that relation. Where whatever has gone back, we can restore. And you know what comes in the way of restoring relationship between the families? You know what comes? Number one thing? Guess. That stops this work of restoration. Yes, say it loudly. Yes. Loudly. Communication. Thank you. Lack of love, that's what you mean. I'm saying What is the cause people don't come together? Okay, coming close. Pride, thank you. Pride. Number one cause why people can't come together. They take positions on each side, and the father says, I won't talk to my daughter, I won't talk to my son, and the son says, I won't talk to my dad, and I won't talk to my mom. So we have a standoff. And the reason is pride. Check it out. Pride. We didn't bring you into this world for nothing. Come on, you got to listen to us. We are your parents. You owe us. Recently, a pastor posted an emoji on Facebook. Okay, there you go. The three monkeys, the famous three monkeys. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. What is the fourth one? He does none of those. And he's hooked to his what? His cell phone. That's not only the kids, that's you. Me. This gadget is the greatest addiction I feel, even than drugs and stuff like that. The fourth monkey. This is the monkey on our back. And you know what we do as parents? We give when we want to get children, not bother us, give them this. And play the games on it. Okay? It used to be pacifiers. Now this has become the pacifier. Shaping your kiddos. I teach at La Salle University a couple of times a year, and it's amazing on the campus. As I see the young men and young women walking, they're walking alone, and they have these gadgets in there. And they have those earplugs completely shut to the world. Nobody to talk to. Nobody to listen to. Nobody to love. But this gadget. That's the fourth monkey. He's on your back. It's up to you to get him off. And you parents, you got to do something about it. If you don't want to have pain as your children grow up. I have seven grandkids, and all of them are smart kids, and they are into it. And I can't tell my kids, my own children, to control this. That's the monkey on our back today. You know what is the latest generation called? Not millennialist anymore. There's a new name for the new generation. Do you know what that is? The Z generation, whatever that means. The Z generation, those who were born in 1995, I'm down. Some of you are seated here are Z generations. Not you. Z. What do you mean? Z is the last letter of the alphabet, means it's the last generation? I don't know. Why they got the name Z, I have no idea. But not now, but Google later on the characteristic of this generation Z. Find out some of the things about the Z generation. They don't trust anybody but this. And everything in the world, A to Z, that is wicked, is on it. Dirty. It's on it. How many of our kids so early have become victims of pornography? Adults. I know pastors have become addicted to pornography. People in responsible places, in the governments, CEOs, victims. That's the gadget. That's the monkey on their back. So this pastor says, finally we have the fourth monkey. He's the wisest of them all. He sees nobody, he hears nobody, and he speaks to nobody. There you have it, the Z generation. What are you going to do about it? That's the work of restoration. Have to begin somewhere, painful as it may be, before they get out of your hands. So, during this new year, 2019, nobody knows what's going to happen to you. Pastor Bill just told me he's going to turn 88. Wow. Looking good. Art, you're still looking good. Man of God. I respect him a lot. And you know, both Juanita and I are going to be hitting our 80s. We're having some problems. We go there and say, why am I here? What do I want it? So go back to the place. And so we're having that issue right now. Forgetting names, you know, very embarrassing. Yeah. Old age is not golden age. I want to tell you that, not golden age. You never know what can happen. I had a scare, maybe 4th of January. I'm very aware when I sleep next to Juanita, she breathes different or moves and all that, what's happening to her. So I'm kind of half awake most of the time. And I started feeling very, very hot. Threw off my covers and still very hot. Went to my office and checked my blood pressure, 220 over 93. High blood pressure. So I said, okay, another stroke? Can't have it. Don't want it. So I called my daughter, who you know is a medical doctor, and she said, what's going on, Dad? I said, I don't know. High blood pressure. Do you want me to come? I said, of course. She lives about 5 minutes away from my house. And no time she was there, I called my son, and he didn't wake up. He works hard, poor fellow. He doesn't hear any phones in the night. He's so tired. I called my grandson, and this is about 1:20. And he says, Papa, what's going on? I said, still awake? Yes. I said, tell your dad and you come home. So three of them rushed home. And my daughter immediately began to examine what's going on. And by this time, I was shivering. My teeth were shattering. And she said, you are very cold. So she covered me with blanket and sat me near the fire. And I said, what happened? It's not stroke, is it? No, nothing to do with stroke. High blood pressure. Because of what? What's the word? Pressure. That's why they call it high blood pressure. Pressure. I've been 24/7 nurse of my wife ever since. I mean, prior to having this problem, she had a wisdom tooth out and the root broke, and so they had to dig him out from there and dig it out from there, and so she had a very traumatic kind of thing, and maybe somewhat related to this, a nerve got damaged. So she's been really, I would say, more than a month into all this sort of stuff. So I guess my daughter was right. After a while, my temperature came down. Nice to have the kids around. And finally they said, Dad, go to sleep, you're okay. So, never know what can happen to any one of us anytime. I just learned during this holiday season, three of my college mates are dead, died. Three of my college mates, some old age, some whatever else. So life is very uncertain, okay? I have to live minute by minute in Jesus. That's the only way I can face the future. On my own, I cannot. And you cannot. If you're not a fake Christian, okay? Let me use that term. A good name for fake Christian is hypocrite. I mean, saying something and not doing it. Jesus used that word very much. Anyway, that's another sermon, another time. It's all ready to go. But anyway, this morning, folks, I just wanted to impress on us, church family, but family. What about your children? What about the relationship between husband and wife? When you get divorced, what is the relationship? Can you still talk? If you have children, are you wise enough? Put the pride aside and give those children the best you can? Or the pride is so high, so tall, like that monkey, the fourth monkey. It is time, folks. This is more important than the last day events to me. Restoring relationships. That's what the work God wants to do in your life, in my life. Make it right when you have time. Not at the time when you are 6 foot under. This is the time. Too late. You have to call and say, I'm sorry. We want to be together again in heaven. It is pride that brought Lucifer down from heaven. It's pride that will keep us out of the kingdom. Some time ago, I came across a thought-provoking, poetic interaction between a son and his mother. And we will put that for you, if you can read it, small. But I'll read it from here, and Robert will help me as I end, keep doing it until we end. This is a rather long, long poem. It's entitled Family. I ran into a stranger as he passed by. Oh, excuse me, please, was my reply. He said, please excuse me too. I wasn't watching for you. We were very polite, this stranger and I. We went on our way and we said goodbye. But at home, a different story is told. How we treat our loved ones, young and old. Later that day, cooking the evening meal, my son stood beside me very ill, very still. When I turned back, I nearly knocked him down. Move out of the way, I said with a frown. He walked away, his little heart broken. I didn't realize how harshly I'd spoken. While I lay awake in bed, God's still small voice came to me and said, while dealing with a stranger, common courtesy you use, but the family you love, you seem to abuse. Go and look on the kitchen floor. You'll find some flowers there by the door. Those are the flowers he brought for you. He picked them himself, pink, yellow, and blue. He stood very quietly, not to spoil the surprise. You never saw the tears that filled his little eyes. By this time, I felt very small, and now my tears began to fall. I quietly went and knelt by his bed. Wake up, little one, wake up, I said. Are these the flowers you picked for me? He smiled. I found them out by the tree. I picked them because They're pretty like you. I knew you'd like them, especially the blue. I said, son, I'm very sorry for the way I acted today. I shouldn't have yelled at you that way, she said. Oh, Mom, that's okay. I love you anyway. I said, son, love you too. And I do like the flowers, especially the blue. Are you aware that if you died tomorrow, the organizations we are working for could easily replace us in a matter of days? But the family we leave behind will feel the loss of the for the rest of their lives. Come to think of it, we pour ourselves more into work than into our own family. An unwise investment indeed. Don't you think so? So what is behind the story expressed in a beautiful poem? What does family stand for? Some of you that have been with me for a while, there is what the family means. Father and mother, I love you. That's what the family stands for. F-A-M-I-L-Y. Father and mother, I love you. Reverend Desmond Tutu, you've heard about him? Great man. He once said, you don't choose your family. They are God's gifts to you, as you are to them. Our families are not liabilities, they're blessings. When we see our family members, even the difficult, hurtful ones, as gifts from God, we may learn in time to express gratitude for each of them. This takes time. Forgiveness. Acceptance. Understanding. Patience. And an unconditional love. While we may continue to be frustrated at times with our families, let us keep looking to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit for inspiration and guidance on how to love one another like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit loves each other in perfect harmony. I don't know if you have made any new decisions for 2019. I can share with you I have. I know the flaws of my character. And I've asked two things to my Jesus to work with me. One definitely is patience. Now, I don't show anger in an aggressive way, but you can show anger in a passive way. You can show anger in impatience, the words you speak. So I'm asking Jesus this year, please help me to be more patient, especially with Juanita. We're just two of us at home nowadays. You know, that's all we have. So all day we are together, all night we are together. And so we do say and end up sometime in arguments and all. But the anecdote to impatience and anger is what? forgiveness. So if you do things that hurt, ask forgiveness. You have received forgiveness freely. So give forgiveness freely. In all my Bible study, there's one thing that's going to keep people, good Christians, out of the kingdom. It is unforgiveness. Not that God says that you should not forgive him, because God says, just like I have forgiven you, you should forgive one another. Without forgiveness, there is no redemption, right? So two things I am saying, Jesus, help me this year. I'm going to work by his grace on it. You got to decide for yourself, what is it that you're going to love? If you want a good list, look at the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 2. That's where I picked up mine. Those are the fruits of Spirit that you and I need to cultivate in our lives for the coming year. There are fruits of the flesh, and there are plenty of them there, many, many more than the fruits of the Spirit. But maybe you want to ask Jesus, it's something I want to work on. You know it. Let it be your internal thing. Yeah. Don't have to share it with anybody. I share it with you because they are innocent. My things that I'm asking God are kind of innocent. I don't mind sharing. But there's some serious things that you have. If you have sexual problem or other problems that you don't want people to know, only between you and your God, say, Jesus, help me through this year. I want to grow so I can be close to my family. I can be close to the heavenly family. And one day when Jesus comes, I want to go home with him. Amen. So this is what Tutu said. While we may continue to be frustrated with our families, let us keep looking to the heavenly family, who are in perfect harmony, so we can be in harmony in our own families. And when we are in harmony with our own families, we will be in harmony with people outside, no matter how difficult they might be. And so I have chosen a song that goes with what I just said, and it's going to be 655, Happy the Home. Is that okay to change the hymn? Yeah. All right, let's sing that one. Let's rise up and sing Happy the Home.
Love the sacred.
Our Father, we are grateful for our families. Lighten up our relationships. Sow grace into our troubles. Bless our families, weaving love into our work, into our rest, and into our play. Amen.
Amen.